The Tom Woods Show, episode 1145, bonus episode.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, The Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Bonus episode coming at you this week, Ben Settle's third appearance on the program. A lot of my folks have started to follow Ben Settle. I could not be happier. Ben is an amazing teacher of email copywriting, that is to say, the writing of email copy. And he is amazingly successful at it. And by following what he teaches, I have seen just astonishing results in terms of my own email marketing. And it makes writing my emails really my favorite part of the day. I really enjoy sitting down and doing it because he makes it fun, because he shows you how to make your emails stand out, how to make it so that your audience will want to open them. And my audience does open them. They see an email from Tom Woods, they open it up and they read it. And that's because I'm doing what Ben teaches, and I'm not doing what a lot of other people do when they send email, which is write really boring sales pitches all the time. Ugh, save me from that. So anyway, Ben is the publisher of the Email Players newsletter, which I subscribe to. You should hop on Ben's email list for free over at bensettle.com. And I never miss an episode of the bensettle.com podcast. So all these goodies are for you to check out. But first and foremost, sign up for Ben's list at bensettle.com. Doesn't cost you anything, and you will get an education in email marketing and copywriting every single day in your inbox. And you're just going to love it. You're going to thank me. And I'm delighted to welcome Ben back to the show. Ben, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you having me on. Was this the third time?
I think it is the third time. I'm always really, really glad to be able to talk to you. Before I even let you say a word, let me say something. I've already told people how great you are. But let me tell you about something that happened to me the other day. You don't know about this. Very few people know about this. But the whole family, we were all out of town in New York for a week. We came back. And don't think any less of me, Ben, but right now, because of a weird and very temporary fostering situation, we actually, heaven help us, have four cats. Now, I have five daughters. That's my excuse. Five daughters will get you into messes like that. But anyway, we have one of these automatic litter boxes. And I did not realize that with four cats, they're going to totally overwhelm that litter box before you get home. So I didn't tell the pet sitter. I just said, oh, no, set it and forget it. That thing will be fine. By the time we get back, that litter box was a horror. So they had found another place to relieve themselves, namely the master bathroom. And so that was not fun. There was a lot of scrubbing and disinfecting going on when we get back. But you know what? I behaved like a normal person through that whole thing. I was upset. Then I sat down and cleaned it. But then I did something that only a Ben Settle follower would do. I said to myself, that's an email.
Absolutely.
This thing that just happened to me? Yeah. I mean, the cats keep pooping in my bathroom was the subject line. Now, why would you not open that? Come on. And I did draw a lesson out of this. I said, look, sure, I understand why cats get confused. They have three things to do all day, eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom. I mean, naturally, they're going to screw up one of them. But you only have to drive traffic for this particular offer that I had. You know, that was the transition.
Nice.
So I thought, I'm not going to let this go to waste. There's an email in this. So thank you for helping me think that way.
Oh, there's so many. I mean, and this is an old adage. I don't know who invented it. I first heard it from Matt Fury, but nothing bad ever happens to an email writer. So
yeah.
'Cause everything becomes fodder. I mean, that can be taken to certain extremes, but you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. And of course, when somebody writes me a nasty note, which doesn't happen that much, but once in a while it does, I'm actually dancing a jig because I'm going to make an email out of that. I'll get my revenge on that person by actually making a profit. You know, don't send me whatever you're upset about, don't send me a nasty email because I'm just going to turn it against you and you're going to be sorry you did it.
I love trolls. I mean, really, they're a gift. And that's the thing. People are afraid of trolls, but you don't have to be. Anybody who spends the time to troll you, they've given you their emotions, and you can do whatever you want with those emotions. We guys like you and me, we just make money from it.
Yeah, no kidding. Now I've got this. I'm going to actually link to it on the show notes page for today because I want people to. Even though it originally was an email, you post all your emails as blog posts, and a lot of people who aren't on your list will have a chance to see this, and then they'll say, "Yeah, obviously I need to hop on this list at bensettle.com," which of course they should be doing. As we record this, I haven't calculated in my head what episode number this will be. So I'll give people the show notes link before and after this part of the show. But anyway, in this is the one that said to me, I got to I got to get Ben back on here. 24 non-mind-blowing tips for tripling your success. And there are so many of them that are great to talk about, and they're so Ben Settley. It's unbelievable. I mean, they're like email players' rules, really. I bet there's some overlap here. But anyway, you say, for example, I like this one because I've done this. Eliminate all neediness from your marketing. And this is also something that you've applied to people's personal lives, because sometimes you can't resist giving dating advice to men. What's neediness and why is it killing you?
Well, you know, that's interesting you're asking this, because that email got me a lot of attention I wasn't expecting. To me, I just wanted to philosophize about some things. And again, I'm actually doing a webinar Wednesday with a huge company called AWAI just about this. But the thing with neediness, and to me, the way I look at it, neediness is the thing that kills most people's persuasion ability. I know people who are extremely, they know all the things to say. They know that they have all the confidence in the world up until something makes them needy. And at that point, they become kind of like what I call catfish bait. I don't know if you ever smell catfish bait, but it's really bad. And when I was in college, you could kind of screw with people by going into their room and putting catfish bait everywhere, and it would just be like, you can't even, it's intolerable. You can't do it. So it's like putting catfish bait in a really nice room. It's like, it doesn't matter how nice it is, it doesn't matter how nice the furniture is, you smear catfish bait, it is repulsive. And that's what neediness does. It makes people repulsive. And yeah, it applies to literally every aspect of our lives. If you want to be more persuasive, just constantly ask, am I being needy? Am I being needy? At first, you have to be conscious about it. You have to think about it. Most people have to think about it at first, and then they start catching themselves. But eventually, you'll get to the point where it's just like you can't be needy even if you wanted to, which is a nice spot to be in. In fact, if anything, you're almost like, man, am I too cold?
You know? So neediness in sales would be kind of giving the impression that you're desperate for the commission or something like that?
Absolutely. In fact, you see it all the time, all the time. Like, for example, a lot of times people project. When they say you need to have this, that means they need something from you. It's classic projection. It comes off as kind of needy. And anytime it looks like you need something from someone, it comes off as needy. So let's talk. Let's take this to example politics, which I know that you're somewhat familiar with politics, Tom.
Yeah.
You know, think of the candidates that are out there who you can tell they're just desperate for you to for your approval, as opposed to say like a Trump. Who couldn't literally probably doesn't care less. So he becomes, he's not, you know, he looks like he's not needy. And I'm not saying he is or isn't. I'm just saying the way he campaigned, it's like, it's almost like he could take or leave it. And there's something very, very, that attracts people to anyone who doesn't need your money, doesn't need your vote, doesn't need your love, doesn't need your approval. It actually makes people want to associate with you more, because I think it's a sign of strength. And people are always looking for someone to follow who has that.
Yeah, like somebody who, well, I don't want to use you as an example, somebody who doesn't take on clients, but let's say somebody who takes on clients but very infrequently. And, you know, look, I really don't like doing client work and, you know, I mean, I'm the best of the best, but I like to do other things. You want to chase that person down, but that's the person I want. I got to chase that guy down. Like Shane Hunter, for example, just took me on as a client. He doesn't do that much client work. And I know he doesn't take on just anybody. So I just thought, well, look, you know, I'm going to make him an offer and we're going to keep pushing this. And it was because he did not need me. He's going to be perfectly happy in his life, whether or not he brings me on. And that was, it wasn't, I had not even a whiff of, I'm secretly desperate and I'll do anything to make this deal work.
Yeah. Well,
and that's good.
That's exactly. And here's a way to do this. Now, here's a way to do this that will make anybody far more persuasive, whether they're writing sales copy or talking, selling. Whether you want to persuade a girl, if you're a guy, a girl to go out with you or not. I don't know if this works for girls to get guys around, what I'm about to say, but it does work for guys because I've seen it work many times. I've used it many times. And this is from the late, great Jim Camp, who was the world's most feared negotiator. This was the entire crux of his entire persuasion philosophy. Now, this is a guy who used to negotiate $500 million deals that would take 2 or 3 years against the toughest negotiators in the world. And I believe the FBI used to bring him in to teach other people how to negotiate and all that. But what he would, his whole thing, and he has a whole book about, he has 2 books about this actually. He tries to get you to tell him no. So, and it switches the whole thing around. Do I not want your sale? I'm trying to convince you not to buy. Now, you can't do it as a tactic. You can't do it as like a trick. But I'm going to give a real world example. This is somebody I actually helped. He's one of my email player subscribers, and this is for his dating life. He was kind of hung up on this girl he was getting kind of needy with. And he admitted, he goes, God, I'm so needy with this girl. Like, I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to her and try to convince her to go back with her ex-boyfriend. Go out there and say, look, you know, you should get back with your ex. No, really. And really mean it. He has to actually really mean it. He can't, and like, what would you say if you really wanted her to get back with her ex? So he did this. And then he found out this girl was like psycho because all the truth came out at that point. And not only did she want him more because he was kind of trying to get rid of her. And the more he found out about her, the more he wanted to get, oh man, this girl was like crazy. Like she's sleeping with her bosses and, you know, all this other weird stuff. I can't remember all the details, but it was like this, like it, you listen to this, you're like, this girl's not attractive at all anymore. and all because he tried to get her to say no. And that's how you get the truth out of people. And I've done this too, and I do it in business all the time. I legitimately don't want certain people buying from me, so I'll try to get them to not buy. One of two things happens. One, they don't buy, which is great. Or two, they actually change and they become good customers. And it's all about trying to get them to tell you no. It's a whole system of negotiation, and it works very, very well.
I want to skip ahead to number 17 because I love this one. I've actually started implementing this myself. Make goals you can control, i.e. eating right and exercising, versus those you can't, i.e. losing X amount of weight by Y date. Because I used to say, I want to have X number of people on my email list by such and such date. And that's not just because the email list is profitable for me. It's also that I write pretty good things every day. I think more people should be reading them. But of course, I can't control how many people choose to opt in. But what I can control are, you know, is how much I work to build the list and the different things I do to build the list. That's what I can control. And that really actually made me less anxious just following that rule.
Well, you know, the whole crux of that is you're trying to create outcome independence. So people who have outcome dependence become automatically needy. That's why, for example, the salesperson who has a quota, they do needy stuff because they're desperate, because they have to make that quota. They're going to get fired. It makes them do things that are going to be needy, which is going to turn people off. It's almost like a self-fulfilling, you know, like sabotage, you know. But if you just say, here, my goal is not to get X number of sales. My goal is to talk to X number of people. I can control how many people I talk to. I cannot control whether they buy or not. And I can control whether I can make myself better at what I do every day. I can control these things. With weight loss, that was the example I like to always use. Beginning of 2016, I clocked in at like 30 pounds heavier than I normally am. And I remember thinking, man, this is pretty, how did this happen? But I didn't like sit there, I need to get down to this weight by this day. What I did was, okay, well, I can stop drinking alcohol. I can stop eating crappy food. I can exercise more. I can move around more. I can make, you know, these things I can control. I can absolutely have 100% control over those things. I cannot control what that scale is going to say. And, you know, so, and I know that there are people who understand weight loss knowing that scales are kind of dumb anyway to use for this, but that's not the point. I cannot control exactly how much, but I can control taking the right steps every day consistently. And once you do that, the pressure, like you said, the pressure is completely off, because like every day I can control whether I write an email every day to make sales. I cannot control if anyone buys from that email, but I can control making myself more persuasive and better and trying to get better leads and that sort of thing. Those are the things I can control. Outcome independence is one of those powerful things anyone can have, and it's exactly related to not being needy.
I like number 15 because it sums up so much of what you teach. Master the principles before executing the tactics. You get a lot of these newbies who want to short circuit things. They want to skip over. They want to take a shortcut. They don't want to sit down and laboriously learn the principles of, let's say, direct marketing. They just want to do what some guru said. There's some ninja trick you can put in your emails. But as soon as you start thinking in terms of tricking your readers, you're already doing the wrong thing.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, this is Jim Camp, who I mentioned earlier, 101. He was big on principles over tactics. A tactic is taking advantage of a weakness in an enemy, basically, which, you know, you can do that. But if you don't, like, he used the example of he was a jet fighter pilot in Vietnam. So he used that example. He goes, you know, but you have to have the principles of how to fly in combat first. You know, you might have a dogfighting trick or something, but it doesn't do you any good if you can't take off right and all these other things he talked about. It's all about principles first. If you have the principles in place, the tactics are fine. In fact, I'll say this. If you have a good enough grasp of the basics, the principles, you can create your own tactics. which is a whole deeper level of persuasion, but it's true. So I'll give you an example. One of the best copywriters who ever lived was named Jim Rutz. He was just one of the top three guys who ever lived as far as copywriting. He passed away a few years ago. But he was so good at copywriting. He used to do things that broke pretty much every copywriting so-called rule there was. For example, he wrote a headline that was called New Coup for Lou. Okay, now anyone who knows copywriting knows that is not, you know, it's like, wow, who the hell is going to read that? New Coup for Lou. But he understood his market so well, and he understood the principles of copywriting so well, and the principles of direct response marketing so well, that he could do it, and it was like a huge winner for him. Anyone else who tried to do that would probably have lost. But he created his own type of rules, his own tactics, because he understood the fundamentals so well.
Number 18 on your list is one that I actually wrote an email about recently. I don't know if you're familiar with a comedian named Owen Benjamin, but he got in trouble recently. He got banned from Twitter permanently. YouTube removed his ability to do live streaming, which he'd been doing every morning with his supporters. And this is a guy, he spent 3 years starring in a sitcom. He's done Comedy Central specials. You know, he's not just some random comic from a, you know, an open mic night somewhere. I mean, he's got a real track record. But he got in trouble from a controversy that partially had to do with people who were willing to give hormone blockers to little kids to help transition them from one gender to another. And he said, this is just ridiculous. You've got to be kidding me. And little by little, he began to get a reputation as a hater and this and that. Now, okay, he would say some things that I wouldn't have said, but obviously it's humor. He's a comedian. You tell jokes. Comedians should be allowed to tell jokes. The problem was he hadn't really built up his own platform. He had Twitter. He had a lot of followers. He's got a lot of people on YouTube, and he's got a Patreon following. But even Patreon, which normally doesn't kick that many people off, is threatening to kick him off. That goes to show the importance of what you just said.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And you know what's funny is I know you actually – you know him personally. I don't know him personally, but I read him stuff all the time. His Vox Day warns about this like all the time. He's like, here's another guy getting kicked off because he's too conservative or whatever, too far right. And it's not – people want to say, oh, it's, you know, these liberals. Well, no, it's your fault for only relying on one platform. you should have your own email list. You should have that you're backing up regularly. You should have your own direct mail list. Absolutely use Amazon and YouTube and all that. I'm not saying don't. But to rely on any one of those makes you very vulnerable. And you always want to be able to have a list, especially if you have a list of your customers. There's this guy. His name was something Vincent. I think it was Vincent something or something Vincent. I can't remember. He wrote this book called – or this product called The 12-Month Millionaire. And this guy used to sell like penis enlargement pills and stuff, whatever. And he got – something happened in his company. Some employee tried to like screw him over or something. He ended up in a state prison. And he was talking about like, man, you know, he had to – it was the state of Arizona actually. And so he wrote about this. And he, you know, here's how to do – here's what I would have done differently. Well, one of the things he says he would have done differently is he would have backed up his customer list every day and put it on one of those little thumb drives on a keychain and carried it with him all the time, because that way he could just have a plane standing by and get out of the country and negotiate from another country for his freedom, which is much better because then the government just like taking everything. Because if you have your list, you can start selling to them again. It's all about having your own list and your own audience. You have your own audience too. And so that's good. But you also want to have a list that you can get to at any time to sell them stuff if you really need to make money on the fly. And so that was an example of someone that he didn't have his list backed up at all. He didn't even value his customer list the way he should have. But that's how these guys are getting in trouble. They're not creating a list. They're just trying to create an audience. You got to have both.
Yeah, I'm glad you're saying, because I think people are starting to tune out when I tell them the importance of this. So I'm glad you're here to help back me up. There are a couple more I want to talk about. Because these are practical things, by the way. There's so many times when they're listed 24 things, it's all fluff. You know, it's like wake up early in the morning. You know, it's crap like that. But read 10 great books on a subject 10 times versus 100 books one time. Exactly. If you want depth to what you know rather than having knowledge that's a mile wide and an inch deep, that is exactly what you should be doing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard for me to take that advice. I want to read the 100 books. But the thing is, I'm not going to remember what's in them. That's just a fact.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a weird thing. When you're just starting to learn something, that repetition is important. I've gotten to the point now where I don't read every book 10 times. But, I mean, all the important ones I have absolutely read 10 times and sometimes 15 or 20 times. So you got to find those 10 or – it doesn't have to be 10, but those the few that – that are really going to have the most impact, the ones that are helping the most, and just master them and know them as well as the author did. And most people are not willing to do that. And we're all the same. We all get distracted. Oh, here's another cool thing. It's the bright, shiny object syndrome. But you got to fight that. If, for example, you read a book or go through a product that you know this is what I need to learn, spend some time with that. There's this book called Breakthrough Advertising. I remember when I first bought it, I barely had enough money to buy it. It was like a $100 book. Now it's actually more than $100. But it was the most stolen book from libraries or something. It had like this urban legend around it. But I got that, and I remember making it a goal. I'm going to read this 10 times before I move on to the next one. It took me over a year to do that. But I can tell you right now, it has paid dividends over and over and over, and it's given me a much deeper level of my craft than most people I know have, all because of that, and applying it, of course, too. But it's that depth versus width. The deeper you go, the better.
That's a hard book to find these days. People are willing to pay inordinate sums to get their hands on a copy. It is viewed that way by a lot of people.
Well, you can – okay, so here's the thing. It is now available through Brian Kurtz, who has the rights for it, at briankurtz.me. And it's KURTZ, so briankurtz.me. He has the rights. He's been granted the rights by the author's wife to sell it. And he charged like $125 for it or something like that. And but you can get it now at least.
Yeah, and people are paying that, which tells you something about what it's worth. You've got as number 12 here, don't virtue signal, which kind of builds on one of the other things that we said. But this actually just reminds me of something else that I kind of learned from you. Your emails are Ben Settle. They're not some disembodied spirit who just abstractly writes emails. They are Ben Settle, unmistakably. And when I first started, I have two email lists. And when I first started my one, basically in the area of internet marketing, I thought, well, I better not bring the politics into it. I'll just stick to the strictly business. But then that's not me, right? How could that ingredient not be in there, especially since making political points is a great way, to write a good subject line or to write a good email. So I just thought, no, I'm just going to be the full-blown Tom Woods, and we're just going to let the chips fall where they may. And I think that was the right decision.
Oh, absolutely. If you suppress the thing that makes you unique and the thing that's that you're good at, the thing that you think about all the time, that's a part of your personality. To not share that with your list every day would be like what the great Gary Bensavenko would call advertising malpractice. It's like, you have to do that. I mean, that's the whole point. You want to be polarizing. The more polarizing you are, the stronger your personal brand is going to be. If people who are afraid to be polarizing, and that just means, I'm not saying you have to go out of your way to like anger people or anything. You want to be polarizing. So I'll give you an example. This is how I approach list management, email list management. And now I pull this from the book of Revelation, believe it or not. It's weird. There's a lot of business lessons in that book. Regardless if you're atheist, it doesn't really matter what I'm about to say. So there's at the very beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking to these seven churches. Now he only was happy with two of those seven. The other five he was very unhappy with. Well, one of the ones he was unhappy with, he goes, look, you guys are doing good work and all this, but you're lukewarm. I'd rather you be hot or cold. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to literally vomit you out. All right. So this is a really good way of approaching list management. You don't want anybody lukewarm. You want them hot, i.e. they're on your side. They will buy from you eventually when they can. Or you want them cold and they'll just leave on their own. But these lukewarm people are the biggest pain in the butts out there. They're the ones that they're the trolls. They're the ones that try to suck up all your time. They need hand-holding, all this stuff. They don't really know what they want. They're always on the fence. They're always asking questions that they already know the answers to. They're like, you want to turn them hot or cold. And the more you do that, the more your income is going to go up, in my experience.
Yeah, and you don't have any hesitation doing that. And it works for me, and I get it. And so I've been glad to do it myself. But don't virtue signal is certainly – you do the opposite of that, I would say, in your emails. You don't write an email about how terrible it is that blah, 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 something that everybody universally acknowledges is terrible. What would be the point of writing that?
Well, yeah, I virtue signalers are just I just get a visceral reaction from them. They just bother me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. It's like when someone comes in, oh, we should not be mean to women.
Yeah. Oh, okay, boy, that'll show all those people who want to be mean to women as a principle. You know,
I'm more likely to go in there and say, here's why I'm mean to women. talk about like what I do to my girlfriend or something when she misbehaves or I'm like the anti-virtue signal. In fact, I look for things that people virtue signal about and I try to agitate. So I do it in my Facebook group all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. I do it just to get reactions out of people. Everyone's onto my antics, so it doesn't really work anymore. But I love doing that. I love it when I see like an article about toxic whiteness or something, and I'll embrace it. I'll run with it and be like, this is great. And I'll do it with my enemy. Now, here's another example. I've been doing this lately. There's this girl named Catrice Jackson, and she doesn't like what I guess the black community calls Beckys. Like these white girls.
Oh, right. I remember this thread. Yeah.
They're basically white virtue signaling girls. I don't like Beckys either. So, you know, so I'm like holding her book. I'm like trying to plug it, you know, and it's driving people who take life way too seriously, like conservative guys I know and all that. Ben, why are you doing this? Because I like her. Because I like what she's doing. I don't have to agree with everything else she does, but it's almost like I'm anti-virtuous thing because most people would do the opposite. Oh, look at this girl. She's so mean and all. No, 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 no. I think she's brilliant. And so there's a lot to be said for just taking the opposite view of everyone else and then actually making a persuasive case for it. Not only is it good practice for your own persuasion abilities, but you might find that you have a more well-rounded point of view of things too.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, what about I was asking you this before. We didn't quite get into it, and I wanted to wait till we started recording. But it seems to be, in my experience, that people in this industry, let's say people who specifically focus on email marketing, is almost certainly because of the company I keep. And yet, I feel like it's not just that. It seems like a lot of these people, when you scratch the surface, they're actually pretty right-wing. Am I right about that, or is that some faulty impression I'm getting because of selection bias? But if I am right, what do you think the explanation is?
Well, I think that a lot of people in this industry tend to be at least fiscally conservative, right? Like, but also a lot of them are very socially liberal. And I know a lot of copywriters, not a lot, but I know enough of them who are almost like in the like it's weird in the copywriting direct response world. It's almost like the opposite of academia. You know, it's like the liberal people kind of keep it to themselves. And not all of them, but a lot of them, the ones who like take clients now, I've noticed keep it to themselves. There's a lot of closet liberals actually in there, but they're not the bomb throwing ones. You know, they're not the crazy ones, right? You and I were talking about a specific girl we both know. She's an A-list copywriter, and she's definitely, you know, blue dog Democrat, whatever they call it. You know, there's nothing Trump can do that is ever good, right? Like, it doesn't matter what he could negotiate peace in the world. There's something wrong, right? At the same time, anyone who's on the left is like, you know, Jesus to her. they can do no wrong. But you can have a discussion with her, right? And so she's very outspoken about it. But I've noticed this, like in the copywriting world, that not everyone's like that. A lot of them have said. In fact, I spoke at a place a couple years ago. And this was a discussion amongst some really high-level copywriters. Like, you know, I kind of keep it to myself and, you know, I don't really talk about it because I don't think anyone wants to hear it because their markets tend to be very conservative, you know, financial markets and all that. So I don't know. I don't know what the percentages are, but I do think that probably the company you keep, the company I keep, we tend to be more to one side than the other. But I think there's some closet ones out there too that you'd be surprised with.
Yeah, and there's no requirement that you have to reveal, obviously, your political views. And especially in this climate, a lot of people want to keep them quiet. It's just that I've been surprised. I've had a couple of other people in direct response on the show, and they've turned out to be right of center. And I just wondered if it was a pattern or not. So, all right, let's try and imagine somebody listening to this who is just has a traditional job, 9-to-5 job. But thinks to himself, you know, I don't know, Woods is starting to wear me down, that maybe at least on the side I should have some little project, as I call it, insurance against the pink slip. I mean, have some kind of a side hustle that in a pinch could be turned into something bigger. And almost anything you do on the side, you would want a list. You'd want to build a list. Can you make the case for having a list and for email?
Well, yeah, it's the easiest business in the world to start. And I mean, there's obviously a learning curve there. But it's not, you know, it's actually not very complicated. In fact, the more you simplify it, the more money you tend to make. At least that's been my experience. So I would say this, if somebody's wanting to do what we do, right, and they want a side thing, there's a lot of little moving parts to learn, but they're not hard. There's not a lot of landmarks you have to get through to make it work. But a lot of it is not trying to build a product and all that, but to find markets. Find markets that need to be served. Find problems that need to be served. There's a book it's $9, I think, on Amazon Kindle. It's called The Boron Letters from the late, great Gary Halbert. If you read that book, and again, this is one of the ones I've read probably 20, 30 times. It's very short. It's not very long. They were originally letters he wrote to his son while he was in federal prison. Gary Halbert was in Boron Federal Penitentiary, and he wrote these 24 letters to his son at the time about how to build a business, a direct marketing business. And I'm not saying it's everything you need to know, but it's certainly a way to get a start. It'll simplify everything. You'll read it and you'll say, huh. In fact, it's not even all business. Some of it's about health and everything. But it'll show you, it starts with that. It's all about finding markets first. Most people go out there and they have an idea for a product, and then they look for people to sell it to. But you want to do the opposite. You want to find markets of people who are already buying something, who have a problem, and then find a product to sell to them. Much easier that way.
The tricky thing, it seems to me, though, is building up the list. I mean, I think writing to the list is one thing. It gets fun. I look forward to doing that. That's the part of the day I most enjoy, is sitting down writing to the list. I enjoy that. But building up that list can be hard. Now, in the past, I've had you on, and you were saying, for example, making podcast appearances like this one helped to build your list. And certainly, you should be on Ben Settle's list, period, because you open his emails and you're going to get, even if you don't think you're interested in the subject line, well, the subject line has to say, you're going to get an education every single day, and there's no reason to pass on a free education in something that's really valuable. So you should go to bensettle.com and jump on that list. But I'll just give one bit of advice. I know you're not a big paid traffic guy. I mean, you do some. I think maybe you do Google AdWords, but you have somebody doing it for you. But with me, I've done Facebook pretty successfully, because when there's low-hanging fruit like a school walkout over gun safety, yeah, that's the day I'm going to advertise my ebook, Your Facebook Friends Are Wrong About Guns. And where do I advertise it to? Gun Owners of America, National Association for Gun Rights, not the NRA, because they're more mainstream than I am, and I want qualified leads on my list, and if they've avoided the NRA, then I know they're really hardcore. Those are the people I want on my list. There are millions of people you can send that to, and it just depends on how much you want to spend. I mean, I bumped up my list substantially just by doing that. Yeah, I had to put up some money, and there are some free ways to build your list, but if you're smart about it, that, why would I not have done that? That was just begging to be done. So that's another way.
Yeah, and paid. I'm a big fan of paid ads. It's just, there's just too many. I got kicked off Facebook. So it's like, I have to kind of do it through Shane Hunter, and he runs my ads through his account. So I have to kind of like finagle it through there. So I don't personally write the ads or do anything. I was using Google AdWords. I haven't lately. There's some other things I'm going to be testing though. But I think paid ads is the fast way to do it. You probably won't get as high a quality a lead as you will through something like a podcast interview, but you do it all, do everything, anything you write articles and put them in article directories, do podcast interviews, do all the stuff, do everything you can. Learning a little bit about traffic, it's not hard. As far as that goes, but some people don't have money, but they have time and energy. So you might have to invest more of that than money anyway. That's how I got started.
Right. And I know people who have taken, it's not an approach I've taken, because I already have a persona on Facebook and that I want to maintain, but where they start a Facebook account and they try to build up friends who are also engaged with the threads, you know, of people who are big in their whatever industry they're in. And so these are people who are smart, who are go-getters, and you become friends with them, and then they become people you can either learn from or who might join your list someday or might buy from you. So that's a free traffic source that's just sitting there. It's just a question of, do you want to put in the time to do it? And you know, none of this stuff came automatically to you or me. Sometimes people think, well, of course this will work for you, Woods, because you have a big list or something like that. But it's not like I came out of the womb with a big list or I automatically knew how to do this. It's a matter of suddenly saying, you know, instead of waiting for things to happen to me, I'm going to make something happen. And I know this is a thing that if I make happen, the result is a very pleasant lifestyle.
Absolutely. And it's worth – and again, there's not a lot of – things you have to learn. It's just a few things and keep it very simple. And, you know, I don't sell like how to get started type of thing, but it's all out there. It's not hard. It's just direct response marketing. And it's, you know, there's tons of, there's a lot of mail order, old school mail order books and things that are very easy and cheap to get. And the same principles apply. It's just the internet. And, you know, it's not something people need to freak out about, but there's a learning curve. And anything worth doing is worth putting the time and effort into. So, you know, I know there are people who want to turn their computer into an ATM machine, right? Like they just push a button and money comes out. It doesn't work that way. It does, like if you're listening to this and you're someone who wants a side thing or you want to build some kind of side business, first of all, congratulations. But second of all, just be prepared. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. You might as well get started now because time is passing anyway. Whether 5 years from now, you will either have this thing up and running or you won't. And that's kind of the mindset I take with it.
Well, I sometimes think about how many years I waited to start my podcast and how much bigger – I mean, look, I'm not like I sit awake at night wishing I had a bigger audience. I'm happy with the audience I have, but it would be even bigger if I'd started 2 years earlier instead of hemming and hawing and making excuses for why it wasn't the right moment. It's never quite the right moment. And I often hear people – now, I'm very partisan because I have 5 kids and I don't regret that decision at all. My life is amazingly enriched because of them. And I always hear people say, it's just not the right time. It's not the right time. Oh my gosh. But by the time you decide it's the right time, you're going to be like an old man. You know, you know, what kind of dad you're going to be then? Just make this the right time. Figure it out. I mean, think about people had kids. Like nothing was the right time in the year, like 703. When was the right time then? And somehow they made it work. just do whatever you're planning on doing. Either get off the pot and do it.
Yeah, well, I'm the one that's in that boat. It's like, what am I waiting for? so I hear you. You know, I probably need to hear that actually. So
well, you know, I'm here to shame people, Ben. That's part of the show is shaming. Now, only people who listen to your podcast and read email players will get that reference. But you did an episode in defense of shaming people.
Absolutely.
In fact,
absolutely.
Can we close with that because that is so on the surface of it outrageous.
Well, shaming worked for thousands of years. Put it this way, and people say, what about shaming kids? I say, yeah, you got to shame the hell out of kids. Listen, if the kid craps his pants, you're not going to shame him? I mean, I'm talking about he's old enough to know better. I mean, if they run out on the street without looking, you're not going to shame them? It's like that could save their life. So everybody's so worried about like, don't shame. I'm pro-shaming. Because this idea of not shaming people only leads to bad things. And it's that I think that's one of the reasons society is kind of like screwy right now because nobody wants to shame it. And I'll leave it with this example. The late comedian Patrice O'Neill, the guy had like 500 blood sugar when he was in his 20s, right? Like he suffered from diabetes his whole life. He ended up dying at like 43 or 44 years old. He wakes up and he had a fiance, a mom, and his fiance's kid. They all kind of relied on him. And one day, he just didn't take it seriously. Nobody shamed him. Nobody shamed him. And so he wakes up one day, and he couldn't move his legs. So he calls his fiancée. She comes over. Eventually that day, he couldn't move his arms. After a day or two, I think he couldn't even, like, blink. He was just existing in his own body. And then he ended up dying a couple weeks later. That, to me, is a miserable existence. It's like being a starfish or something. Nobody shamed him. Maybe if somebody had shamed him, that wouldn't have happened. We'll never know, but that's the kind of way – I'm not talking about shaming people to like necessarily get in their face and shame them, but you can do it through stories like that. And that actually was an email I used to make a lot of sales for a blood sugar thing. So yeah, I'm pro-shaming.
And you sent – this is a while ago, but in email players you suggested the possibility of alternating in emails between an email that appeals to hopes like, look, here's the potential of where you could be kind of email, and then another email of – look, where you are right now just sucks, and let's just be honest about it. Where you are sucks, and you got to do something to change that. And if you alternate between those, you can also see some results because you're appealing to two things that matter to people. Where am I going to go, and where am I right now? And instead of that, when I look at all the emails, I'm on so many people's lists because I want to know what other people are promoting, how they're promoting it, what I'm up against. And geez, every email is – our bonus is disappearing tonight, 50% off. Like that's their email. I mean, and had it not been for Ben Settle, perhaps there would I have gone.
Well, what you're referring to works especially good for emotional markets. And you're basically creating an abusive relationship. I know it sounds bad, but you really are. It's like, it's no different than an abusive relationship, except this is like a healthier abusive relationship.
Right, right, right.
But it's no different. I mean, the psychology is the same. It's highs and lows. First, you give them the inspiration, then you give them the death ray, and it's just an emotional high and low, and it, in a weird way, it gets people addicted to you.
Right.
And I know
right.
This sounds like really nefarious, but it's really not. It's just selling, but that's what that's all about. Yeah.
I had a gentle pushback against my list the other day because I don't look at the email statistics because I believe in your philosophy. You know, what matters is results. It doesn't matter open rates. It doesn't, you know, none of that stuff matters. What matters are results. But I was just curious. I had sent out an email that was very valuable because it contained two what I consider foolproof ways to build up an audience for whatever it is you have to say or sell or promote or whatever. And that was probably my least opened email of the year. And so my second email, after that one, I wrote and I said, all right, now look, I love you guys. You're great. But I got to push back against you because you're wrong on this one. That should have been the most opened email because sometimes you just got to sit and eat your broccoli. I know you don't like it, but it's good for you. And you got to sit and eat your broccoli. And I was able to say that to them because they know I'm not a jerk.
Yeah.
And I'm being as nice as I can, but I just want to help them. And if you're only going to open the emails about my cats pooping in the bathroom and you're not going to open about how you build an audience, how do you think this is going to end?
That's a good point.
With cats pooping in your bathroom or something. I don't know, but it's not going to have a happy ending, that's for sure. All right, bensettle.com is where you should go. You can read a lot of Ben's stuff there, but more importantly than any of that and is to sign up for his email list. But and you'll also, if you look through the testimonials, you will see a certain Tom Woods, a certain podcast host you've come to know listed there. As of this moment, I gave somebody else a testimonial over the weekend. So there are now, over the course of my life, a grand total of three people I have ever given testimonials to, but Ben is one of them because Ben has made my life more enjoyable. I am much, much more successful. I have a wider reach. I like what I'm doing a lot more because of Ben and what he teaches and my actually implementing what he teaches. So check out bensettle.com. And maybe someday you'll join me as a subscriber of Email Players, but for now, just read those emails, read them. And like me, you know, you'll open them and once in a while you'll say, oh my gosh, this one. Yeah, this was even better than the one the other day that I didn't think could get any better. And then finally, when I got this one about the 24 tips, I thought, all right, that's enough. We got to get this guy back on. So first of all, Ben, thank you because you've helped me a lot and continued success to you. And I don't know if you have any final words, you can throw them in right here. But going to bensettle.com, I would say, is a very good parting suggestion.
Yeah, well, go to bensettle.com. And if you opt in, I'll give you the first issue of my Email Players newsletter. It's a print newsletter. I'll give you the PDF for the first issue. It's got 24 ways that you can start making more, if you already have a business, make more sales with emails. If you plan to have a business someday, it'll help you get started. It also actually a little bonus report tacked to it that shows you how to just kind of start a business. Not getting real detailed, but it gives you a good idea of how to structure it. And that's free at bensettle.com.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the bonuses you get. Yeah. Because you'll get a sense of what Ben's producing. I mean, you think his daily emails are really great. But then when he's really giving you the full teaching, it's in that newsletter. And it's neat, by the way, for me to see a bunch of my listeners in your Facebook group or who subscribe to Email Players. All right, you know, somebody's listening. I got this microphone. It's plugged into the computer. Somebody's listening. That makes me feel good. All right, Ben, thanks so much, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody, that's it for today. I'm in New York City this weekend because I wanted to see Stephen Wilson. If you know what I'm talking about, you are among the true elite of my listeners. If not, that's okay. That's okay. The fact that you listen to the Tom Woods Show puts you right in the upper tier of mankind to start with, and that's pretty darn good. But anyway, I'll be home in a couple of days, but doesn't matter because the episodes just keep on flowing. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes, which you can do at tomwoods.com/iTunes, and I'll see you next week.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.